found. Bring this meeting to order. Michael Standish, roll call, please.
Mayor Hiermath. Vice Mayor Waters.
Here.
Councilmember Hornan.
Here.
Councilmember Pena.
Here.
Councilmember Rodman.
Here.
Councilmember Snyder.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Here. I'd like to invite the Boy Scout troop number 270 to the front of the chamber to lead us in the pledge, if you'll all rise.
Scout salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Two.
Thanks very much, Scouts. Good evening, all. The mayor is not here tonight. He is way out of town, being feted for his accomplishments on a national level, but it's something I can't tell you about beyond that. The story will break tomorrow, as they do in sometimes these cases. They embargo a story until the story has taken place, and it won't take place until tomorrow in Washington, D.C., but I'm sure it will make us all proud in Oro Valley of the wonderful things that have happened. Why am I getting feedback?
I can give you some feedback.
Okay. Upcoming meeting announcements. Ms. Nowak?
Thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor. In regard to that, the town will be issuing a press release tomorrow with information on the award that the mayor is receiving, so please be sure that you are signed up to receive press release notifications or check out our website tomorrow afternoon to hear the great news. On screen, we have several upcoming meeting announcements. Stormwater Utility Commission meets January 19th at 4 o'clock in the Hopi Conference Room. Please note the Board of Adjustment meeting on the 24th has been canceled. Historic Preservation Commission meets February 6th at 5 p.m. in the Hopi. Planning and Zoning meets the following day, February 7th, at 6 p.m. here in Council Chambers. Water Utility Commission meets February 13th at 6 in the Hopi Conference Room. Conceptual Design Review Board meets the 14th at 6 p.m. in Council Chambers, and we have one more. The next Town Council regular session is February 15th at 6 p.m. here in Council Chambers. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council.
Thank you, Ms. Nowak. Council reports.
Mr. Mayor, just one quick one. I had the while I was scanning one of the newspapers, the Oro Valley Voice, I think, I ran across an article on one of the astronomy club in Sun City donated telescopes to the 5th and 6th grade, or 4th and 5th grade, I can't remember which, I should have written it down, at Coronado School, which is something they do on an annual basis. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to say that there are many groups in Sun City like that that benefit the youth in our community. They do books, they do lots of other things, but I was particularly struck by that one because I'd never heard of them before. So I just wanted to mention that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councilman.
Mr. Vice Mayor, are you ready for a spotlight on you?
I'm ready for you, Mary.
We have a youth in our community to honor this evening. If you'll bear with me for just a minute, I'm going to relocate down in front here. If you're a regular attendee to meetings, you know what this is about, but for those in our community who don't know, once a month the council recognizes an outstanding youth in the town of Oro Valley. We call it Spotlight on Youth. And the reason we do this is we want the people in town to know that not only do we have great kids, but the future is in great hands. So this evening, I'm honored to invite Austin Thacker to come up here with me. I'm going to tell you all about Austin. Okay. In addition to being a local author, Austin Thacker is a senior at Ironwood Ridge High School, and I'm about to tell you the rest of the story, but I need my glasses. A little detail.
Some decorum, please.
Yeah. And I have Austin's permission to tell you that when he was 15, Austin was diagnosed with stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. After more than a year of chemotherapy and radiation treatments, which I believe must have taken a great deal of persistence and courage on your part, he began writing a journal. That journal would develop into an idea for a book. Although the book is fictional, it reflects the emotional and physical journey he went through with his battle with cancer. The book is entitled My Hand Mitten and is about a police officer who suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder, something certainly we hear about in the media these days. With the help of Make-A-Wish Foundation, it is now under contract to be published by Rare Bird Books. Most importantly, definitely most importantly, I'm happy to say that Austin is now cancer-free. There's more. We asked Austin teachers what they thought of this young man, and his principal from Ironwood Ridge, Mrs. Natalie Burnett, is in the audience this evening, and I believe one of his teachers is here. Sorry, I didn't see her come in, so if you're here, I apologize that I didn't see you. Stacy Jordan, his English teacher, had this to say. Austin Thacker is the most unexpected surprise of my school year. He came to me during the first week of school and asked me to sponsor his club, the Ironwood Cares for Kids. When he explained his purpose was to cheer up sick kids in the hospital, I had to say yes. Despite the difficulties he has experienced in his life, nothing stands in his way of doing the right and good thing for his school and his community. He's one of the reasons I love coming to work every day. Mrs. Burnett also had some words that she would like to share about Austin. Quote, it's my pleasure to know and work with Austin Thacker as one of our finest students at Ironwood Ridge High School. I first met Austin as an avid young man working on our newspaper staff as a junior reporter. Since that time, I've gotten to know him as a person and have simply been delighted with his strength, character, and empowering perspective. Austin is a gem of a young person who offers a rare glimpse of insight at his age. I look forward to his continued success and all that he offers in service to others. Austin, we admire your fortitude and determination in face of tremendous obstacles. We're so proud of what you've accomplished so far and for the leadership role you've taken in making a difference in the lives of others. So we are honored to spotlight you this evening, and this is Austin Thacker.
Thank you, guys. It means a lot to me to get this award and stuff. It has been a long journey. It's a lot of hardship, and I'm just proud to be here today and to be alive. And the book was just a way for me to cope with my PTSD through getting over all of the past and all of the thoughts that came to my mind after after battling cancer. And it is very personal to me and stuff, so when it comes out in June, please buy it. It's gonna be great. Yeah.
Order forms.
So we have a plaque for you. The Town of Oro Valley spotlight on youth. Congratulations to Austin Thacker for being an inspirational example of strength and determination. We are so proud of you. From the Mayor and Council. There you go, sir.
Thank you.
And our staffs, we're going to take a picture, and then, Mom, we would like you to come up and have a picture with him, too. Thank you.
great. There's a lot of things going on, which you'll know about, which will begin unfolding in the weeks ahead. So that's why I'm acting mayor tonight. And we have Philip Saletta acting for the interim town manager, who's with the mayor on that story I alluded to earlier. So Philip, department reports.
Mr. Vice Mayor, we have one department report from Paul Kiesler of Community Development and Public Works.
Thank you, Vice Mayor, Council. I just wanted to make a quick announcement that due to the upcoming inclement weather that we're going to be experiencing this weekend, our Oro Valley Main Street's Walk the Block event has been postponed. We've moved that to a later date in February. The new date will be Saturday, February 11th from 4 to 7 p.m.
That's it. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Phil. We've reviewed the order of things that will proceed as noted in the packet. It's time for a call to the audience. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, mayor and council are not allowed, to discuss, respond to, or take legal action on matters raised during call to the audience. At the conclusion of call to the audience, council members may direct town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. Since I've not received any blue cards, I assume this is an exercise in futility. Okay. So, presentations, Michael.
Presentation, Youth Art Program by the Arts and Culture Ambassadors.
Sasha.
Yeah, Mr. Waters and council members, as you can see, Miss Case is walking up, and there is a new face joining her. Usually it's Mr. Eggerding, and then as you know, over the last 2 years, we've been quite popular with our art tours twice a month, and then during 4 months out of the year, we have our presentation, which these two wonderful ladies will be sharing with you. And then last month, we started something new, pop-up arts in our commercial vacant buildings. So what I had to do, what anyone would do, is talk to our current arts and culture ambassadors and ask them how their workload is. And that was Miss Sasha Case and Mr. Dick Eggerding, and said, you know what, we're doing a lot in this community and we need some help. And so I am pleased to announce to Mayor and Council, staff, and our community, Miss Joanne Carolla, who also won the Volunteer Woman of the Year Award. Ladies.
I decided I needed to go to the top if I was going to get help. Thank you for collaborating with us. Joanne has already been a part of this youth arts and culture ambassadorship and the program that we have been forming over the last 2 years. So she's just been an unheralded arts and culture ambassador. So now she's going to get a badge. Anyway, good evening, Mayor and Council. We are so pleased to be sharing for all of your enjoyment and the enjoyment of the whole community who is here with us tonight, high school art. And we have several schools participating this evening. And what I just have to say, what I love about children's art is how we're able to really experience the developmental leaps that happen throughout a young person's life. So last month, you got to see some preschool art. And now you're looking to see what young people who are no longer mandated to take art classes, these are people who actually want to be there, are creating, and it's really quite stunning. So I am going to begin by sharing with you who is on the wall back there. So on the very left hand, we have from Bush Ridge Christian Academy, a new lovely art teacher who dove right in. Her name is Camille Peschen, and she has a couple of her students here with her tonight. They studied the macro view of our desert, our botanicals, and created beautiful compositions of these in major close-up with charcoal and chalk on paper. To the right of them, we have a collaborative exercise in photography and graphic design from Basis High School. Helen Baker is their wonderful teacher who seems to manage everything. And then when she's not teaching there, she goes off to Washington, D.C. to teach in the summer. So she's a busy lass. And she has put forth these wonderful photographs and pieces of kind of surrealistic portraits, if you will, that will be going in their students' portfolios, hence the nice clothespin design, so we didn't ruin anything. Our third panel is from Immaculate Heart Academy, the high school there, and I want to tell you a little about William Lewis. He is their art teacher. We have a series of coat of arms that the children, or I don't really want to call them children anymore, the young people produced, and using paint and pencil on some of them. William, or Bill, as he is called, used to actually attend the Immaculate Heart School himself, and he stayed and became one of their teachers. So thank you for sticking around, not moving to New York. The panel after that is from Ironwood High School, and their teacher, Danielle Now Rutherford. Best wishes, Danielle, on your recent marriage. She is formerly known as Danielle Moulineau, and you might see her work. She is a very wonderful artist herself over at Diane Medeiros, is that how it's pronounced? Medeiros Gallery. I've seen her at an art show down at the Tucson Museum of Art, and she clearly inspires her students to make wonderful work. So we have a series of black and white and almost black and white portraits that are done using various techniques. You'll see that wonderful portrait of a woman in the right-hand upper corner. If you look closely, all of those lines are actually words. So it pays to actually get close up to some of these pieces. There's some sgraffito work in there. There's various media being used. Our last panel was given to us by Canyon del Oro High School. Their digital media professor, Lee Street, is being represented by one of his students this evening. And it's a collaboration. The students not only produced the digital artwork that you see, but they created the composition of this installation. And that was fun to play with on my living room carpet for 4 days. But anyway, we have a beautiful, large photographic installation there. And again, get close and see what's going into some of those individual portraits to create that beautiful whole piece. So I would also like to say that Joanne and I and some of our pop-up posse, that's what I like to call them, are going to be mounting our next art show at the Oro Valley Marketplace. We're going to be putting up middle school art from Wilson K through 8. So if you find yourself over on the west end of the Oro Valley Marketplace, look for a new exhibit. So thank you for sharing your time and your eyes with us this evening.
Joyce, do you speak?
Oh. She does really much better than I do.
You just invited up to stand there?
Joanne, would you like to invite everyone up? We're going to invite the teachers and students who have arrived this evening, yes. The artists, to come up.
Please come up, all of you.
Thank you.
Sasha. Thank you, Joanne. And now we're going to move on to business, to the consent agenda. What's your pleasure, Council?
Mr. Vice Mayor, I'd like to pull letter C.
C?
Mr. Vice Mayor, I'd like to pull letters H and I.
H and I.
Mr. Vice Mayor, I'd like to pull D.
Which one?
D.
D.
D as in dog.
D as
okay.
in dog.
So we have left A, B, E, F, G, and I.
No. I pulled I.
You pulled I. A, B, E, F, and G. What's your pleasure?
I move to approve those items.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Letter B, Michael.
I think it's C.
C, I'm sorry.
Fiscal year 2016-17 financial update through November 2016.
Mr. Vice Mayor, I ask that we pull it so that we can talk just briefly about where we stand through the first 5 months of the fiscal year in the various funds. So, Stacey.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor. Members of the council, you have the financials included in your report through the month of November. And to start briefly with a high-level overview of the general fund. The revenues and expenditure trends in the general fund are performing very positively to budget. We are seeing, as you can view in your attachment F, local sales tax trends increasing year over year from last year. And we are right where we expect to be compared to budget at this time of the year. At this point, we're expecting to end the year in local sales tax category slightly over budget on revenues. Based on the trends that we're seeing. Typically, with 5 months of experience under our belt for the current fiscal year, we take a closer look at analyzing where we expect to end up at year end. So we do some deeper analysis on the trends that we're seeing in our revenues and expenditures. And at this point, we're looking at revenues ending the year slightly over budget, as well as some of the other categories, major categories in the general fund, licenses and permits. Those are trending over budget at this point, largely due to the single-family residential construction activity and commercial construction activity that we're seeing in town. So those revenues are trending over budget at this point in the fiscal year. State shared revenues are coming in right on target with our budget expectations at this point, and we expect those to end the year as well slightly over budget. So very positive revenue picture in the general fund. The expenditures are trending all below budget at this point, and we expect to end the year estimated with a positive increase to our fund balance at the end of the year of just slightly over $500,000 at this point. So again, we'll continue to revise and refine as we progress through the fiscal year in the general fund. Positive picture as well in the highway fund. Our revenues are trending roughly where we need to be at this point, and we expect to end the year in a more positive ending fund balance than we budgeted for in the highway fund. As you know, we've been strategically and purposefully drawing down on that fund balance and using those funds for pavement preservation, and we expect to end the year in a lesser drawdown than what we had budgeted for because of the revenue trends and the expenditure trends that we're seeing in the highway fund. In the community center fund as well, again, as the town normally does this time of the year in terms of analyzing where our revenue trends are and our expenditure trends are, we asked Troon Management to take also a closer look at their operations at the community center and look at refining a little bit more where they felt the year-end position would be for their operations. And so they have updated their year-end forecast. The revenues are trending under budget at this point in the Troon operations, primarily in the areas of outside golf play and fees and membership dues. We're trending below budget expectations in the member dues area, and so the year-end revenue estimate is coming in at about $600,000 under budget in the Troon management area. The expenditures are expected to come in at this point about $50,000 under budget. The overall difference between revenues and expenditures from the Troon managed operations over there are estimated to be about a net loss of $2.1 million versus a budget of about $1.5 million. On the town operating side in that fund, we're seeing the fitness membership dues trending right where we need to be on budget. We're seeing strong performance in that area. Daily drop-ins, revenue is strong. So the revenues in that area are definitely trending to budget. We're also seeing on the local sales tax that goes into that fund, the dedicated half-cent sales tax, that's also trending right to budget. At this point in the year, we expect, again, going into our higher collection season towards the second half of the fiscal year, that we'll end the year with local sales taxes slightly exceeding the budget amount in that fund. On the expenditure side as well, town operations are expected to meet budget at year end for the town operations. Overall, right now, the community center fund is forecasted with a deficit of $157,000, and that includes the repayment of the $120,000 back for the amounts funded and loaned from the general fund when we acquired the facility. So that payback is included in these figures at this point. Even today, when we're in the middle of January, this situation in this community center fund is not a dire situation. There's the ability to make operational changes and put those into effect for the remaining months of this fiscal year, where we can curb those expenses and be able to come in a positive position in this fund. And so we're working with Troon Management on a plan to address that at this point. Happy to answer any questions.
Can I just have a follow-up on the question? And so you mentioned, you said a $2.1 million loss, and I want to clarify that. That's before the sales tax revenue is put in back into the formula. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So yep. That's where you come to the $150-some-thousand-dollar projected loss, mm-hmm. is after the 2.1 comes in, which was, in fact, budgeted to come in to cover expenses in the Community Center Fund, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Solomon.
Yes, Stacy, can you please comment on how we're performing this year as opposed to last year?
In the Community Center Fund,
yes,
as well?
Yes, in the Community Center Fund.
In comparison to last fiscal year, specifically the operating expenditures under the Troon managed operations, the expenditures are down through this time of the year by 16% compared to last year at this time, which amounts to about $413,000. So we're trending in the right direction. Our expenditures are down year over year in those operations, again, due to management's efforts to revise those operations, be able to curb those expenses, and operate more efficiently in the food and beverage area specifically as well. Those losses on those operations are down by about half this year through November versus last year. So we're trending in the right direction. Management is looking at operational expenses and trying to improve financial performance, creating new membership dues categories, new membership packages to address different types of golfers, for instance. And so, again, working on trying to develop that wide diversity of packages, corporate packages available to enhance the membership at the facility.
So basically, the community center, we've seen great improvement over the last year. When you take into account the revenues, in addition to the expenses, we're looking at a relatively small amount in the $100,000 area. All these figures are public record. They're in black and white. They're on our website for anyone to view. And it's just unfortunate when some members of the public or the media choose to misrepresent these figures, which are in black and white, and tend to report just the expenditures while ignoring the revenues. And you know in your own household budget, if you just counted the expenditures, but you didn't count your income, it would give a false picture of your family financial situation. Unfortunately, for some reason, this is persisting on the part of a few people and, unfortunately, on the part of some news media, which borderlines on fake news, where all they report are the expenses and they don't report the revenues. The community center provides a function to a large number of Oro Valley residents. There are times when the parking lot is near full, and the cost associated with it is a cost that the town is associated with any service the town provides, like our police, like our roads, like our planning. And the financial picture is improving and is getting better. And as mentioned, is certainly not in any type of drier states when you look at the overall picture. So we just want to reassure the public, the numbers are there for yourself to go look at. You don't have to take my word for it. If you have questions, staff or council are more than happy to answer those. But once again, they're in black and white. They're there. We're in very good financial shape. And overall, the town is looking at over $500,000 in additional coming out ahead, $500,000 at this point in the year. So the overall budget of the town is very financially secure.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Vice Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to approve letter C.
Second. Anyone?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Vote is 6-0. Item D, Michael.
Mr. Vice Mayor,
Resolution number R17-03, approving the Intergovernmental Transportation Funding Agreement between the Regional Transportation Authority of Pima County and Town of Oro Valley for design and construction of a pedestrian and traffic signal at La Cañada Drive and the entrance of the Town of Oro Valley Community Center.
Councilor Pena.
Thank you. Mr. Vice Mayor, I'd ask that this be pulled because I wanted some clarification. The project cost for the traffic signal located at La Cañada in the community center has a cost of $500,000. And so my question is there a chance that there will be cost overruns that could be over $500,000? And if so, is the town, is there any impact on the town with regards to that?
Vice Mayor Waters, Council Member Pena. With any project, there's always a chance that the project can go over. Now, typically we run these projects, our particular RTA projects, under budget. But let's talk worst case scenario. Let's say a project goes over. There's really kind of three things that can cause a project to go over and whether or not the town has any fiscal responsibility to it. The first thing is we have, through this IGA, an allotted budget of $500,000. During the bidding process, once the IGA is authorized by both the town council and the RTA board, during the bidding process, the lowest bid comes in over $500,000. Well, the town's not required to make up that difference. What will happen is the town will notify the RTA, and either the RTA will increase the budget, which would have to go back through their management board, or the project could get canceled. Now, chances are with an RTA project, particularly a safety project like this, they're not going to cancel it. So on the off chance that the bids come in high, the RTA covers it. The second thing is if once this contract is signed, we have the contractor out there, they're working away, and some unforeseen condition arises, which causes a change order, which could potentially push it over the budget. Well, the IGA makes accommodations for that, and if it's within 10%, the RTA staff can just go ahead and approve that. If it's over 10%, the RTA staff would take that to the board, and again, it would get approved for RTA funding for that overage. The only time that the town is really on the hook on this is would be the third scenario, is that during the project, we add an element. So there's some element that the RTA did not approve and was not anticipated by the town. Say we added an extra sidewalk, or we added extra streetlights, something that was not really necessary for the base funding for this project, then the town would be on the hook. But for all intents and purposes, we're covered under this IGA.
Mr. Vice Mayor. Thank you. Paul, could I ask about what kind of light this is going to be?
You know, yes.
It serves the community center and the golf villas across the street.
It does. Let me add some clarification to that. Originally, we were putting in a hawk traffic signal. Now, the hawk is the Mickey Mouse flashing. Looks like a Mickey Mouse hat. The flashing just for pedestrians.
That's an engineering term.
It is. It's a precise term.
Technical term.
Now, what happened was, is as we went to the RTA, we have a issue with pedestrians crossing right there. We also have a site visibility issue, so people turning out of the community center, they have a hard time seeing traffic coming north. We were attempting to try to solve that by rearranging the landscaping and making it clear. But as we got in there and looked at the detailed engineering that would take to go ahead and make that change, there were so many elements. There's a tunnel for the golf carts right underneath the street right there. The vertical relief of that street, it just would have been incredibly expensive to solve that safety issue. So the town went back to the RTA and successfully got the budget approved, which is what this IGA is about, to do not only a pedestrian crossing but also a traffic signal, which would alleviate that entire traffic safety concern.
But my question is it a kind of light that when a car pulls up,
yes,
to get across, it'll change? Or
yes,
is it time to change periodically to slow traffic on La Cañada?
It'll have both elements, actually. There's camera sensors that will sense when a car is there, and then there's also a timing. And we manage that through our traffic engineering.
Okay. Thank you. Joe?
Well, if they discover a gas line that's under there that's at this point no one is aware of, we're not on the hook for that. It's the...
That would be an unforeseen condition that we would go back to the RTA, and that's something that they would find.
But who would ultimately have to pay for it? Would it be the local provider of gas service, whoever that is, or would it be the RTA?
It all depends on the situation. If the gas line was in an easement, then the person doing the contracting would have to do it, i.e. the RTA. If the gas line was just in the right-of-way, chances are it'd be Southwest Gas that would have to move it. But it would be on an individual situation.
And we as a town are on the hook for the ongoing maintenance, operation and maintenance of the light, right?
Once the light's in place, yes, that's correct.
So we control it then?
We do control it. It becomes a light within the town system.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Vice Mayor, I move to approve consent agenda item D.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That passes 6-0. Michael, item H.
Council approval of M3S Sports request for in-kind support for the Arizona Distance Classic.
Mr. Vice Mayor, I just pulled this to recognize David Babner of Arizona Distance Classic, his 14th year here, and I thought maybe we'd just hear a couple comments from him about the upcoming event.
David?
Mr. Babner.
Mr. Vice Mayor, members of council, thank you so much for having me here tonight, and thank you for letting me produce the Arizona Distance Classic in partnership with not only the town of Oro Valley, but the Hilton El Conquistador and Ventana Medical Systems and Northwest Medical Center, and now new this year, Fleet Feet Sports Oro Valley, and a number of other partners. Over the years, we've attracted participants from over 40 different states, from 3 different countries. We've had an unbelievable celebration of the active, healthy lifestyle right here in Oro Valley. The event is made up of 3 different events. It's the half marathon, which is the signature distance and the most popular distance in the entire country, which is why we're able to draw folks from a number of states. We also have the quarter marathon, which started right here. That's 6.5 miles. Some folks can come out and participate in that. And then we have a 5K as well. The event starts and finishes right on Ventana Medical Systems campus, heads up through Rancho Vistoso, Moore Road, La Cañada, loops around and comes back. It's a remarkable tour of Oro Valley. All the participants that come here have a remarkable time, whether they're staying at the Hilton El Conquistador or other areas. We've tracked economic impact in this event. We've even last year had over $200,000 of economic impact. So we're very proud of what we've been able to do here. But I don't want to fail to recognize the Oro Valley Police Department. We get comments, and we produce events all over the country, primarily in Columbus and Chicago and some other places. The Oro Valley Police Department by far gets the best comments from any of our participants and volunteers and other folks involved. It says a lot, because that course is very difficult to manage with the residents and a lot of other folks that are trying to get in and out of traffic, and so they've done a remarkable job there. I also just want to recognize you folks as well. The investment that you made in the event, we really appreciate, but even more than the investment, we appreciate you putting your feet where your investment is and coming out there and being part of the event. I know, Vice Mayor Waters, this is something that you're very passionate about, to get folks out and active and in the community and keep moving, and that's something that's really struck a chord with us, and that's something we try to do, and we try to do here every single March. So we hope you'll join us again on March 26th. We look forward to another remarkable weekend right here in Oro Valley.
How many years has this been now?
This is the 14th year.
14th.
So, David, you will extend the courtesy to the Vice Mayor and I, and Mary, if she wishes, concealing our 5K time from the internet.
We will. We will hide your trip, and you email me afterwards.
It's too late, David.
What you want me to put in there?
Can I still look like I'm running?
Council Member Pena come out. Yeah,
Council Member Pena
well.
Yes. is joining oh. that. And said, gentlemen, yes. we challenge
I
you.
I'm embarrassed by her time.
Yeah.
I'm going to post all
right. Video. Sign up.
We can at least get a picture of you at the finish line.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, David. Looking forward to it.
Thank you, David.
March 26th, folks. Come on out. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Mayor, I move to accept item H.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 6-0. Item I, Michael.
Appointment to the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board and the Stormwater Utility Commission.
Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor again, I apologize. Okay. Just to recognize the two folks, one of them on CRAB, Mr. Ersink, and of course Mr. DeSantis on the Stormwater Utility, is volunteering to serve the community and on those boards. Just to recognize them if they're here.
Yep, Joe's here.
There he is.
Yep.
Yes, you are, actually. And thank you. And I just wanted to make sure we recognized that and everybody else did. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve item I.
I'll second. Since you stole my thunder, I'll second it.
Well, you're still welcome to speak.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Joe.
Passes 6-0. On to the regular agenda, Michael. Item 1.
Courtesy review of the conceptual site plan and architecture for the Lehman Charter School, located near the northwest corner of La Cañada Drive and Tangerine Road.
Roosevelt, you're up.
Good evening. So our purpose tonight is to discuss the conceptual site plan and architecture for the Lehman Charter School. To begin, I want to thank the applicant for submitting these applications, because charter schools are exempt from the zoning code, and he's giving us an opportunity to do a courtesy review here. The town does have the authority to review the road connection as well as the building plans, so roughly about 90% of this request is a courtesy review. To begin, the property is 8.5 acres, shown here in the yellow outline. It's located on the northwest corner of La Cañada Drive and Tangerine Road. Surrounding the property to the north and to the west are large residential lots. To the east is the vacant land owned by the town, and to the south is vacant land for their future Miller Ranch Tech Park. As background, the Miller Ranch Tech Park, we had a general plan approved in 2004. Rezoning was approved in 2007, and in 2010 we had a development plan approved. And what's really important about this application tonight is that we want to make sure that the school functions and looks in harmony with this future development of Miller Ranch Tech Park. So this is the site plan for the school. It will be developed in two phases. The first phase will consist of a 66,000 square foot building, 36 classrooms, offices, a gymnasium in here, as well as a playground to the north. The second phase, shown here in the blue outline, consists of a 36,000 square foot building, which will contain 20 additional classrooms, offices, and meeting space. One thing I want to point out about with the site plan design, it still does retain connection to the future tech park, as you can see here in the arrow. And compared to the approved Miller Ranch, it does push buildings further away from the homes to the north. To improve compatibility and increase zoning conformance, the staff does recommend two suggestions for the site plan, and they are in attachment one. The first has to deal with adding additional parking spaces along the west property line. And the idea here is to prevent parking overflows into the adjacent area, including the tech park. The applicant has informed us that they intend to use drop-off areas during special events to help prevent these overflows. The second suggestion by staff is adding screen walls along three sides of the property. The screen wall would first shield vehicles from adjacent and future residents. The other screen wall here would reduce vehicle headlight pollution into La Quinada Drive. The applicant has informed us that they intend to install additional landscaping in here because the cost of the walls is a little too costly. And I do want to point out along here to the west is that there is a wash there that would help screen some of those, especially with the future residential property or should be developed. The last thing I want to talk about here is traffic and circulation. Traffic and circulation has been the main focus for the staff review, and I just really want to walk you through that really quick. To begin, the main entrance would be here to the south where folks can make a right, as well as a left turn lane here, and proceed off to the drop-off areas. One to the west, there's a second one, and here's a third. They have three drop-off areas, and they would exit right through here. Another option is a drop-off for kindergartners and preschoolers as folks go right through here. The star to the north here is for emergency access only, and that's consistent with the approved development plan for Miller Ranch. With regards to off-site improvements, there's two things I want to point out. Today, there is a median here. The applicant is proposing to open that median and allow left turn lanes and then close off two medians to the north. What I do want to point out is that our staff is still reviewing these traffic impact analysis. So these are some of the expected improvements, but again, we are still working through that. So the next thing I want to talk about is proposed architecture. It does contain elements of modern southwestern style architecture. As you can see in the picture, it has building heights of two-story and up to 32 feet, 8 inches in height. And the big takeaway here is that a lot of the architecture here, which is consistent with the Tech Park development, it's really to set the groundwork for the future Miller Ranch. And I'll go into it. So this is an image of the Lehman Charter School. This gives you an idea of the quality as well as the proposed architectural features that we can expect to see here in Oro Valley. Some of those elements include a strong cornicing along the roof line, brick columns and glass near the main entry, and various roofs. So we have flat as well as pitch roofs here. And this is a school that they're proposing today. You can see a lot of those elements are carried out. So in summary, traffic and circulation was the main focus for our staff. We do want to thank them for giving us the opportunity to review this as a courteous review. And we think we can meet 100% conform with the zoning code by hoping they do those two suggestions related to screening and parking. And with that, our CDRB has reviewed this and it's provided, has discussed this application. Vice Mayor, Council, that concludes my
Roosevelt,
presentation.
On my attachment one, I have a third consideration, requested consideration for an additional 40 parking spaces along the west property line. Am I to assume that consideration is not being considered?
Yes. As of today, they've told us they're going to use drop-off areas to account for parking overflows.
Oh, okay. Questions?
I know that, again, we're not approving this, but can you tell me under the Tech Park approval that we already had what the height limitations would have been versus what we're going to have here in terms of the height of the buildings?
Vice Mayor, Councilmember Rodman, they're about the same. It's about 34 feet in height.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilman
Horvath? Well, can you go back to the site plan? I just want to firm up where the entrances and exits are in the traffic flow. So I come in the southern entrance there. Mm-hmm. I go all the way around and I exit. It's all one way?
That is correct.
Okay. I got it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any other questions? Anybody like to hear from the Lehman representative?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Roosevelt.
Mr. Vice Mayor, I'll just brief mention it. This will be a tremendous asset to the Oro Valley, our community, and the different educational options. Former Dean of Students, Kevin Lehman, who unfortunately I met in 1972 under interesting circumstances. I mean, he's proven to be an outstanding educator and innovator, and this would just put one more feather in the cap of Oro Valley as far as our educational choices. So I think it's fantastic that they've chosen to locate here. Having gone through the whole Miller Ranch process several years ago, I think this is a fantastic use for the property. It's going to blend well. They've done a good job architecturally and site plan-wise, all on a volunteer basis. So just want to make those comments.
Thank you, Steve.
I agree.
This is a no-action item.
Thank you.
Just are being afforded the courtesy of being able to review this newest project for Ohio Valley. Item 2, Michael.
2A, resolution number R17-04, declaring the proposed amendments to the zoning code related to general plan amendment procedures and other related sections as provided in Exhibit A within the attached resolution and file with the town clerk a public record.
This is a vote to declare a public record, so I'll accept a motion on 2A.
I move to approve 2A.
I'll second.
Any discussion? What say you? Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 6-0. 2B, Michael, or not 2B.
Public hearing ordinance number O17-01, amending sections 22.2, 22.15, 27.10, and other related sections of the Oro Valley Zoning Code to update general plan amendment procedures.
Elisa.
Vice Mayor and members of the council, thank you for having me here tonight. My name is Elisa Hamblin. I'm the long-range principal planner for the town, and I'm here to talk to you about the zoning code amendment related to general plan amendment procedures. Our purpose, first and foremost, with this item is to take an important next step in implementing the Your Voice, Our Future general plan. We are taking it from a policy document to our town regulations. As a reminder, most of the zoning code amendment includes items that come directly out of the Your Voice plan and as such have been reviewed by the town council at previous public meetings. This is mainly a housekeeping item intended to align the zoning code with the Your Voice plan and Arizona state statutes. This will be done by amending sections of Chapter 22 related to general plan amendments. This specifically includes the types of amendments, the procedures for the amendment process, and criteria to be used in judging amendment requests. Amendments in Chapter 27 are to replace outdated terminology. Two of the sections in the requested zoning code amendment relate to the types of amendments and the procedures for processing an amendment. Previously, Type 1 amendments were known as major amendments, and Type 2 amendments were known as minor amendments. To help determine whether an amendment request is a Type 1 or 2, this section includes definitions and a revised amendment matrix. This will likely result in a greater number of amendment requests being classified as a Type 2 or previously known minor amendment, but this does include the same public hearing requirements as currently required. The zoning code revisions also include information on how to judge the merits of a specific amendment request and are intended to be used by town staff, the Planning and Zoning Commission, and the town council in decision making. The criteria are directly pulled from the Your Voice plan. There is language which allows for the broad use of the entire general plan as a tool, as well as specific criteria related to development character and land use patterns, infrastructure and improvements, public services, natural beauty, and environmental resources. For example, each request would be evaluated to determine if there's sufficient infrastructure in place, such as road capacity, to accommodate the potential impact from new development. Amendment request must also include effective public outreach efforts. So this includes identifying and responding to neighborhood concerns to the extent reasonably possible. Non-residential changes should also contribute to the long-term economic stability of the town. Additionally, special area policies may be created during the amendment process. This code amendment indicates that these special area policies may be refined during the rezoning process when there are public safety concerns or new information that is available. An example of this may be a traffic impact analysis. You wouldn't typically have that information available at the general plan amendment stage, but you would have it available during the rezoning stage.
Mr. Mayor, can I just interrupt you for just a second? So instead of going back to a general plan amendment again, we can handle it as part of the zoning?
That is correct.
Thank you.
You stole the words right out of my mouth. So,
did I? Sorry.
You must have been reading my mind. So this does allow for the flexibility to address those things when they come up during the rezoning process. And I will also note that during the rezoning process, there is still ample opportunity for residents to provide feedback as part of an open public process. In summary, we are asking the Town Council to amend the zoning code to align with the Your Voice, Our Future General Plan, Arizona State Law, and Oro Valley Standards, and clean up other outdated references, as recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission at their meeting on December 6, 2016.
Thank you,
Lisa. This concludes my presentation.
Go ahead, Joe.
Just one more staff question. Could you go back to that slide about something about immediate relief or whatever? One more, I think. Oh, immediate review section removed. What?
So there was previously a section in the zoning code about processing applications outside of the normal time frame. We've removed that section because we don't believe it's in conformance with state law and the requirements for processing general plan amendments.
We're not in conformance?
We want to be in conformance, so we...
Thank you.
On the advice of our council,
we'll have more questions and answers. This is a public hearing, so are there any blue cards? No. Blue card, so we'll close the public hearing. It's pretty easy. Councilman Rodman.
Yeah, it seems to me that in talking ahead of time, my understanding is that all of these things are things that were part of the Your Voice, Our Future, and simply getting this to conform, the zoning code to conform, with the potential exception of the one that says that there are certain things that now can be done in the rezoning process that... In the past, theoretically, might have had to go back to a full general plan amendment process. However, so there's not really, maybe there's a question at the end of this. Anyway, I will see. No, but again, to emphasize, in the rezoning, there are in fact neighborhood meetings. There are in fact public hearing. So it isn't as though something will happen in the general plan amendment process. And then somehow there won't be any more input, even though something might change in the special area process. It still has a lot of ability for public input. Is that correct?
Vice Mayor Waters, Councilmember Rodman, that is correct. So our intent is to still honor the public process that takes place during a rezoning so that the public is aware of any information that's available that may change special area policies. The intent with this statement was really to bring the language about special area policies in line with the general plan. So the Your Voice, Our Future general plan does actually state special area policies typically address concerns such as setbacks, building heights, screening, and traffic management. These issues are then refined during the rezoning process. Mm-hmm. So the language in the suggested zoning code amendment is in alignment with that out of the
It also makes sense to not put the applicants through something that simply isn't necessary. It can be accomplished by a different means, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Councilman Snyder.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor. I'd like to thank the staff for their excellent work on updating this to bring us in alignment with the recently overwhelmingly voter-approved Your Voice, Our Future general plan. So thanks for keeping us in line. And with that, I'd like to move to approve item 2B.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes 6-0. Item number three, Michael.
Discussion and possible direction to staff regarding future community center elements.
Joe Hornet, Councilman, you're up.
Mr. Vice Mayor, thank you. Councilmember Rodman and I have talked through this a couple of times, and it was our intention here to put this as a direction to staff. And as you heard from Stacy, Troon will be addressing the $157,000 potential shortfall over the next several months prior to the close of the fiscal, so we expect that to be zero. We've also had some discussion, and it's finally time. We've got some history now. We know what the golf business is. We think we're getting a handle on the restaurant, but none of us are experts in either one of those, and to the best of my knowledge, no one on staff is either. So one of the things I'm going to ask council tonight is for a consensus to direct staff to hire a consultant to review the options on our restaurant facility and also our configuration of our golf course. ask them to prepare an RFP, solicit bids, and then report back to council as to what the cost of that would be, and also what eventually what the plan would be if it's anything different than we're doing today. What we're doing today is the best job we can, and I think we're doing one heck of a job. And as we've heard earlier from the Director of Finance, that we are improving, just not fast enough to close this the way we want to, so we've got to take a little more aggressive action. My second part of this is to talk about the elevator and the reconfiguration of the front entrance to make this a truly easy ADA. We are meeting the minimum requirements for ADA right now, but it is somewhat difficult to do that, and it's just not, as Councilmember Rodman reminded me, it just ain't right. So we would like staff to start to solicit bids for the reconfiguration of the front end of the facility, as well as the installation of the ADA acceptable elevator in the back. And I would like council to authorize, by consensus, we're not voting on this, these actions by staff.
Mr. Vice Mayor, a question, Joe? Okay. The reconfiguration of the front entrance and the elevator are tied together necessarily.
They are, but they're probably. Oh, I mean, let Paul address that. He's the engineer.
Just a point that you.
They are.
We're not just doing this to have fun with the new front entrance. Wait, they need to be done together.
Paul has some new front loaders. And he's been trying to use them.
Access.
Well, we're also need to comply with the federal law to bring us into compliance with ADA requirements. So.
Councilman Robin. Just very briefly, again, because we saw a projection that we saw earlier, which is better than last year, but certainly not the best, this is the time that we need to put this kind of information in front of the town and the council in terms of what changes we may need to make and over what period of time we need to make them, and that's the reason for this this future agenda item.
It's yeah. Time. We have the history, and we think we've seen, what, a year and a half, 2 years of both the operations are certainly our recreational facilities there. They're doing very, very well. There's no argument there. We'd like to improve that too, but that's not going to be part of what this is. It's mostly financial, actually.
So, Councilman Snyder?
One more comment. I can support this, Joe, because we, when we decided to make this acquisition and go down this road, we said that we would watch it carefully and that when we discovered adjustments that may need to be made, we would be willing to look at those and make good decisions. So I feel that this keeps us in line with what we promised.
I agree, Mayor. I think we've done all we can with the knowledge that we have. I think it's now time to get some outside view on this, someone who could take a look at it, who's a professional.
Exactly.
And give us some ideas on what we can do and can't do.
Mr. Town Attorney, how do we move forward with this?
Mr. Vice Mayor, members of the council, this is just posted for discussion and possible direction. I think if you just state what your desires are, I think staff is smart enough to understand what the direction is and take appropriate action.
Well, I guess it would amount to polling the council.
Staff says they have direction.
If everyone has said what they need to speak on, yes, they have.
All right. They've been directed. Thank you. Bill, for your work on that. I would also like to thank the members of Boy Scout Troop 270 for coming and
for staying this long.
Civic participation is very important, and we appreciate it very much. It's great that you could be here tonight. Thank you all.
Mr. Mayor, also a member of our Youth Advisory Council, Sam Sepulveda, is here tonight, and his job with the Youth Advisory Council is to take minutes and report back to our members of our Youth Council as to town
make
action.
Us look
so,
good, okay.
Thank you, Sam.
Mr. Mayor, can I just make a comment here?
Sure.
He could have stayed home and watched this tomorrow, fast-forwarded through it.
Joe?
All right.
He likes the ambiance, Joe. Any future agenda item? Okay.
The movie adjourned.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Good night, all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Carrie.
Meeting adjourned.